Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I am your host, Mark Call, and of course, this is the show where we talk about not only the example and the admonition, I guess is a good way to put it, from Revelation that has to do with, well, come out of her, my people, so that you don't partake of her sins and therefore don't partake of her plagues. We also talk about aspects of how and why and how it is that things have been literally engineered to make that as difficult as possible and so forth. Well, today in particular, because, of course, this week and actually Thursday, June 6th, is the 75th anniversary of D-Day. The, invasion of Northern Europe into France at Normandy by over 150,000 Allied troops. It's been called and is, in fact, the largest combined land, sea, and air operation in history. Over 150,000 Allied troops made the shore that day. 4,400 of them died. Many, many more were injured. And when I look back at all of that, and yes, we see the memorials and the speeches and the celebrations and all of the, I guess you'd say, the joy of victory and the tragedy on the other hand, ultimately, folks, it's truthfully sad. Because look where we are today. Yes, it was the beginning of the end of Hitler and World War II. And yes, what did Hitler want to do to Europe? Much of what he wanted to accomplish has, in fact, happened. So some would argue, and I wouldn't argue with them, that Hitler, in fact, at least philosophically, ended up winning that war because so much that he wanted to accomplish has been done. Furthermore, if you look at the formerly free United States and say, what was Hitler's domestic economic agenda? It was literally the public-private partnerships. IG Farben and so many other major German companies that are the models for, well, the socialist media companies, the gulags, the two Facebooks, the Monsatans. Well, I guess now Bayer's IG Farben owns Monsatan even. Basically, what was once German economic fascist policy is now de rigueur, standard operating procedure in the United States. And the same thing goes for the Hitler weapons policy. It's now U.S. policy, and it's getting worse. And that includes, by the way, as the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership pointed out many years ago, the actual text of the Nazi Weapons Act brought home to America by various socialists in Congress and literally put into what now passes for law in place of the Constitution here. Gun Control Act of 1968. Before that, the National Firearms Act, and we'll talk about some of those things here in a minute. But it is disgusting, I think, to realize that so many of what those young men in those times fought and indeed died for has now become official world and economic and U.S. policy on so many fronts. Which brings me to the topic that literally I was struggling with, but I think, when you step right back and look at it, here's where I want to go today. I call this show Ignorance and Apathy, and perhaps you've heard the old, it would be a joke, but it's not funny. Which is worse, right? Which is more damaging to a formerly free society, ignorance or apathy? You know the answer. I don't know and I don't care. That seems to be the attitude of most of the waste-free media, certainly the socialists in Congress. And they don't want you to know either, which is part of the reason why we're going to talk about it. All right, when it comes to ignorance and apathy and I don't know and I don't care, I want to start out by just asking a couple of questions because we're going to review several of the things in the news that really ought to bring this home. But can so-called elected representatives, now if they don't put their hand on the Bible and take an oath, are they really able to be called representatives anyway? That doesn't prevent the press from doing so. But can they vote to overturn the Constitution? Well, if we had a rule of law, the answer would be no, even if they think it makes good sense, or what to them, idiots all, passes for common sense, which isn't so common, obviously. So can they vote to overturn the Constitution? Well, they do. Does that make it law? No. Can they lie to you and trick you? Duh. Absolutely, and that's the key. And furthermore, can they violate the law with impunity? Well, yes. if they're willing to play ball with the real government, the deep state, the permanent government in Washington, D.C. that seems to run things and could care less about the written law and especially the Constitution. Now, I'll up front make one more comment. This is an observation that I've repeated many times here on this show, and that, of course, is when it comes to ignorance, if you don't know your rights, one thing is for sure, you don't have any. One more comment from the history books. Here's another quote I've mentioned many times. When Benjamin Franklin was asked outside the Constitutional Convention over 225 years ago, what form of government have you given us, Dr. Franklin? His answer, right? A republic, madam, if you can keep it. And obviously, they, and by extension, we have failed. So here we go. What I want to do is talk about a number of things that are in the news literally currently. But I'll begin with some good news, I guess, from the People's Republic of New Zealand. Remember, they had their little false flag event. Stank to high heaven, but hey, it didn't stop them from passing complete disarmament there in New Zealand. In March, says a piece from Matt Agarest at the Free Thought Project, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced the first tranche in a number of moves to destroy the rights of formerly free New Zealanders to protect themselves with firearms. And what happened? Well, they banned the possession of all kinds of guns. Here's the funny part and the good news, I guess you'd say. Of the 250,000 or so people who own over 300,000 firearms, or thought they owned them anyway back before they were turned into criminals overnight, in New Zealand, okay, 250,000 people, 300,000 firearms, 530. That's, 500 and change have been turned in already. Well, that's the good news. I guess there's a lot of New Zealanders that are basically telling their government, go pound salt, take this gun. No, you don't. And so forth. Government officials, though, true to form, when have they ever told the truth, especially when it comes to wanting to disarm their slaves, are attributing the lack of gun turn-ins to citizens wanting to be properly compensated for their weapons. Now, in the United States, we used to have a clause in the Constitution, nor shall public property be taken without just compensation. Of course, we've seen various so-called decisions from the Supreme Court, including Kelo, that have said, ah, the hell with that. You don't have the right to compensation anymore. FDR, of course, decided back in 1933 to steal the American people's gold, and he took their firearms, too, in a lot of cases. But you got to do it like the Wicked Witch of the West says, gradually, and they've been working on it ever since. In any case, no, it probably isn't just a lack of proper compensation, even though you got some sycophants that are saying, oh, that's it. Here is one. I won't name this individual. The Secretary of the Council of Licensed Firearm Owners. Well, there you go. That speaks volumes. Who said, we're effectively being punished for the acts of a foreign terrorist, and we want to make sure that our personal private property is adequately compensated when it is confiscated. What a quizzling. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can steal our stuff, but please, oh, pretty please, big brother, give us something, at least, that makes us feel like it wasn't stolen outright from us. Now, the problem is, as each additional firearm is compensated, those that are smart enough to hang on realize that the value continues to go up. But there's more to it than economics, obviously, because once the people are completely disarmed, history says pretty soon they're dead. And there's no amount of money, as Agarest notes, that can compensate someone properly for being being made into a slave, turned defenseless, and then herded off to a camp and or just killed outright. What's your life worth to you? Answer, hang on to your firearms. And now, of course, as we've seen in Britain, and here we hearken back to D-Day as well, formerly free and not so great anymore Britain, which didn't learn the lesson of World War II. If you go look in the history books, you'll see the Brits disarmed themselves prior to the Nazis essentially deciding that they wanted to take over the European continent. And what did they have to do? They had to go to their the colonies and beg, pretty please, Americans, you got guns still. Won't you send some over here to your stupid British cousins who disarmed ourselves so foolishly after the war? Didn't take them long. Just like America caving to the Nazi Weapons Act, well, the Brits re-disarmed themselves. Now they have London stand, and it's even worse. Once they had complete gun control, economics rears its ugly head, and rather than criminals being armed with illegal 22s, they're armed with fully automatic machine guns. This is real simple economics, by the way. If you haven't heard me talk about this or haven't seen any of the textbooks that still talk about this, hint, you're not going to find them in most of the leftist so-called institutions of higher indoctrination. Anyway, the idea is the following. If a tool of your trade, for example, is something that you need to do whatever it is you have decided you want to do, it's more valuable to you than someone who doesn't need it for their livelihood. And by the same token, then, if you're a criminal who wants to commit armed robbery, a firearm is a tool of your trade. And then if Big Brother comes along and raises the cost of that firearm, a barrier to entry is the economic term, and says, oh, you can't have this, and if you import it, it's a severe criminal element problem, and furthermore, we might even throw you in the hoosegow forevermore in the Tower of London or whatever they're doing nowadays. Well, then that raises the cost significantly. So then what happens? Well, naturally, if you're an importer whose job it is to bring something in for which the customer is willing to pay dearly, would you waste your time bringing in a cheap 22, a.k.a. a Saturday Night Special or something of that ilk? Or do you decide, look, I'm taking the same risk whether I bring in a cheap gun or a really, really expensive one, and I can sell them both for a lot of money. Why don't I bring in the best stuff I can get my hands on? Because the penalty is the same. So guess what happened to the common street thugs in Britain? Answer, the ones that are well enough connected with the drug cartels and gangs ended up being really well armed. It's economics 101. It's common sense, unless, of course, you're a member of parliament or an idiot in the United States Congress who cannot see the forest for the trees or recognize history, economics, or facts. And now, what's happening in Britain? Well, politicians are going after knives as the next evil weapon that no law-abiding citizen should ever need for any reason. And of course, what are we seeing in gun-free and now almost knife-free Britain? Yeah, more knifings and bloodletting than ever before. Ain't criminal activity in the highest offices wonderful? Trouble is, folks, there is truly nothing new under the sun in this regard, and therein lies at least part of the rub. Now, in the United States over the last few days, and this takes me back to the idea of stupidity. Stupid is as stupid does. And ignorance. Because according to the HuffPo and the WaPo and other fake news outlets that wouldn't know the facts if they actually had to report them, the debate over silencers has resurfaced following the latest false flag in a gun-free killing zone. In this case, it was a government employee in Virginia Beach that decided, hey, if there's enough disarmed people there, I'll just go in and kill a whole bunch of them. And he, I don't know whether he was put up to this or just managed to get a hold of something that very, very few people can actually have because it's been prohibited by that unconstitutional National Firearms Act since the late 1930s, anyway. Silencers. Well, no, they're truly not silencers, folks. They're called suppressors. Silencers is a Hollywood term and a gun control idiocy misnomer because they truly do not make anything silent. But that's part of the big lie here, part of the ignorance element of what we're talking about today. So here we go. This is the HuffPo piece. I'm not going to quote much of this because it's, for the most part, just plain BS. The mass shooting in Virginia Beach, it says, has reinvigorated the debate over the regulation of gun suppressors, also known as silencers, which muffle the sounds of gunfire. Well, that's about as true as anything in this piece gets. In fairness, I have to say the HuffPo did a better job than the WaPo and some of the other purveyors of WaPos out there, because at least they do mention the National Firearms Act and the fact that, now these things have been highly, and I mean highly, regulated for a long time. That, for the most part, doesn't get mentioned, but it's part of the untold story here. The problem is there are actually a few Congress critters that, it's not like they can read shall not be infringed and point out that, hey, the National Firearms Act has always been an incredible infringement of the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment in particular, the idea of the right of the people to keep and bear arms and to own property and so forth. They got their usual workarounds. But now there are some Congress critters that are saying, you know what, this is really stupid, lumping suppressors in with Well, fully automatic machine guns, not to be confused with assault weapons, because the kind of assault weapons that the military uses, not-so-free Americans haven't been able to have, again, for all of those many decades, since before the end of World War II, ironically. What the Congress quitters would like to see is the fact that, you know, if you can put a suppressor on a pistol, for example, even though it's still going to be really, really loud, and that's what the liars here aren't going to tell you. I'll get to the numbers here in just a minute. I don't do numbers often, but in this case, they're important and we have to. In any case, even though they only suppress the sound, maybe 20 or 30 dB, which turns something which is ear-splattering and dangerous into something which is just ear-splattering, the idea is they would, in fact, make firearms and training a lot quieter and probably safer as a result, because people could hear better afterwards. And also, they would make shooting ranges better neighbors, and they wouldn't have to be quite as well shielded from people that don't want to hear the reports and so forth. You know, all of that basically would make firearms more attractive. And that is exactly why it is that there's so much shrieking going on about something which they say is resurfacing in the debate, but don't say have been banned for a long, long time. Now, the reason why I'm really picking on this is because I saw some of the most idiotic comments concerning this, and that, by the way, would include the president, who said, I don't like them at all. And he doesn't care if something he doesn't like is infringed, it would seem. He didn't like bump stocks. And, you know, it's ironic. That was the only one of the president's executive actions that the press didn't shriek about and that the courts didn't immediately overturn. Because as long as it impedes people's ability to defend themselves, well, we're just fine with that. So Trump got to do one executive order at least and not have any complaints from the press. So here we go. Let's talk about silencers. No, I want to do this. I've got to read this quote from Herr Hitlery. This one's almost, you just got to hear it to believe it. Said Hillary Clinton, gun banner extraordinaire and namesake of the guy who wants to do what she is up to. Pointing to a WAPO op-ed that is full of lies, she says, this idiot, whom I won't name, makes a chilling point in that op-ed today about the way shooters' use of barrel suppressors and other silencing equipment makes it harder for people to save themselves and others. Now, here's where she tells the truth, but you have to take it out of context for it to make sense. The sound of gunfire can save lives. Huh? Well, it can. When the sound of gunfire is honest people defending themselves from either criminals or criminals in uniform at her behest. It's the only thing she said, in other words, in quite a while that's true. You got Kirsten Gillibrand, another idiot, who says, when someone gets shot by a gun with a silencer, it's quiet. Witnesses may not hear. All of this, folks, is absolute BS. And therein lies the rub. Next, I'll quote just a couple items from a piece from the Daily Caller, which, among many of the more truth-oriented sources, says, come on, let's look at the real numbers and really answer the question here. They start by quoting a fellow that I've admired for years, former professor at University of Chicago, author of More Guns, Less Crime, probably one of the foremost honest firearm statisticians and researchers, honest scientist, basically, John Lott. And Lott said the following over the last few days. He's now president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Despite what you may believe from watching TV shows or movies or listening to gun control advocates, suppressors, commonly known as silencers, do not make guns silent. Well, not unless you consider an ambulance siren or a jackhammer as silent. And indeed, that's about the truth. A silenced handgun is approximately in the same volume level range as a jackhammer. And that's hardly a silencer. So what you see in the movies for the most part is, again, it's bad science. It's bad stuff. Just about the only thing, by the way, that you can truly make silent enough that it makes a good weapon for an assassin, the CIA and their wet workers would know this, is a handheld .22. And it's been a preferred assassination weapon of the mafioso types and the Big Brother government types for quite a while. Put a silencer on it, apply it directly to someone's temple or neck, and maybe Vince Foster or some other famous high-profile cases might have seen this, that we are not going to hear, and the photos have been expunged. Anyway, yeah, a Silence 22. If you use a subsonic round, it can be made a lot quieter. But when it comes to anything more powerful, no, not at all. So here you go. Essentially, the average firearm, especially if we're talking a medium to high-powered pistol, or particularly almost any rifle, hunting rifle, is going to have a sound in the 150 to 160 dB range, which is literally up there with jet planes on the tarmac and some of the other loudest sounds that people might be exposed to. These are levels that can, in fact, cause hearing damage, and it's why people who practice with their firearms need to wear hearing protection. It's why a silencer would be a nice investment if Big Brother hadn't made them so darn near absolutely impossible to get and so ridiculously expensive. Not only do you have to pay the unconstitutional tax on them and submit to incredibly invasive procedures from background checks to fingerprinting, the possibility, if not increasingly probability, of follow-up checks and, yeah, possible confiscation, because there is a registration involved here, and a, minimum 9-month, maybe multiple year waiting period for the bureaucratic wheels to maybe grind out their permission. As a result, what should have been a $30 item is going to cost you well over $1,000 plus all of the bureaucracy just in order to protect your hearing. So typically, the only people that can afford this are very wealthy hunters and collectors and the like. There are only a little over 1 million licensed suppressors in the United States out of about 400 million estimated anyway, since they're not yet registered. Firearms. Now here's the funny part. While the BATF will consider it a crime for one of you peons to even possess such a thing, and the irony, of course, is a decent suppressor is basically far, far easier to make than it ever would be to buy. So while for all practical purposes suppressors are de facto banned, anybody with a metal shop, and I've known a number of people with metal shops who say, oh yeah, this is trivial. You could literally make a decent one in a jiffy. Pretty easily. And you could do it for far less money and hassle than the ATF will put you through. And yeah, you could probably use a 3D printer to make one too. But while Big Brother might be more than willing, if you're well connected, to excuse bank fraud, oh, certainly border jumping, and even quite a bit of treason pretty readily, by comparison, even the possession of what they would call a suppressor, which is basically anything that they say might make a firearm a little bit more quiet, will get you treated like Roger Stone. So, because it's important, let's return briefly to the numbers and the physics. The real sound, the major output of the sound of most weapons, high-powered rifles and the like, is a sonic boom, because the bullet comes out of the muzzle at a speed well in excess of the speed of sound. So there's literally a small sonic boom that's there. That's the rifle crack that you hear, and you can suppress it all you want with muffling and buffling and everything else, and you're not going to have any effect on the sonic boom, which is why 22s and some pistols firing subsonic rounds, for example, are about the only place where a silencer really helps a lot. That's why you're talking about maybe 20 or 30 dB, depending, of sound suppression. Remember, we're talking about something which comes out of the muzzle and produces a crack, as well as a muzzle blast sound that might be well over 160 dB. So if you cut it to, say, 130 dB, it's still blankety-blankin' jackhammer loud. What's the truth here? Well, the truth here is we had all kinds of absolute lies being told by the likes of Hillary Clinton, as well as the complicit lying fake news media. And it just bugs me to hear people saying things like this and not being called out on it. And not being said, you know, this is not just asinine, what you've just said, Hillary, you gun-banning flake, you, and what the WAPO is pushing and all of these other leftist media outlets are pushing. It's truly insulting as well, because, after all, the only people who would read crap like this and not call them out on it are too dumbed down to realize just how big the whoppers they're swallowing whole really are. And we'll be right back after this. Bow for the news revolution. I ain't free. Change on the loud. Give
wonder, I can't think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the Come Out of Her, My People show. Today I'm talking about two things, both of which can get people and are intended, we're working up to that, killed. Ignorance and apathy. And ultimately, the bottom line is this. What you don't know can kill you. And there are certainly lots of people who intend to make that happen. And I was quoting some of them leading up to it. What really bugs me about this, and the reason why I spent so much time talking about the so-called suppressor or silencer issue, is just how stupid, I mean blindingly, appallingly stupid, the kinds of, is there a polite word for crap, that are coming out of the mouths of these ignorant and I would say, no, they're lying through their teeth, politicians has gotten. Now, the fact that politicians lie is nothing new. But the fact that people aren't smart enough, are so ignorant that they're unable, unwilling to call them out on it, ought to really be raising eyebrows. Yeah, what you don't know can kill you. And I'm leading up to this. Okay, listen to this. This is a comment tweeted by the woman who thankfully is not king, Hillary Clinton. And of course, the reason we call her that is because, well, her namesake, Adolf, had exactly the plans that she is pushing, from the big lie and the whopper that she's been getting away with to her gun control proposals, which are right smack out of the Nazi Third Reich. But in any case, here's what this woman tweeted, referring to Las Vegas, the false flag there where people who actually know what full auto weapons sound like, and I use the S on the end of that, plural, reported, and there were lots of reports, even though here it is well over a year later and you're not hearing anything about them, nor, for example, are you hearing much about the motives of the alleged lone gunman, nor have you seen any of the video. No surprise there. Whew. It's all been effectively covered up. So she refers to the whoppers being told about Vegas and actually had the gall, the chutzpah, to say the following, quote, "The crowd fled at the sound of gunshots. Imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make easier to get," unquote. Now, let's just debunk this idiocy one quick step at a time. A, if we're talking about a rifle, folks, as I've already mentioned, the major sound output is not silenced. And furthermore, if there were more than one shooter, as seems to be the case, and it was full auto, not bump stocks and all those other things, well, we know we've been lied to on that score as well. But given that the round is supersonic, what does that mean? Well, that means that people start, if they get hit anyway, dropping dead a long time, at least a long time if you're being shot at, before the sound even gets there. Right? If the bullet's moving at well above the speed of sound and the sound is moving slower and we're talking about the better part of a, well, half mile or so away, hey, it could be a good second or so. You see people drop before you have a chance to recognize what happened and then say, well, where'd the sound come from? Well, it's in a big city area. It's reflecting all over the place. Come on, give me a break. This is just plain idiocy that somebody would have, well, would think they could say this and get away with it. And therein lies the rub. Now, if you ask again the question, why are they pushing this today? That's what I think is interesting. Silencers have been essentially de facto outlawed, as I pointed out, for 80-plus years at this point. What is to be gained? Why? Well, it's all about gun control. It's all about using the false flag to push the narrative. But it hit me. Okay? The real issue with even a potential that a Hearing Protection Act might get passed and make pistols more attractive if people could actually go out and get a nice Silence 22 and shoot in, well, on their farm property and nobody would hear it because they're a mile away. Well, that'd make shooting easier and cheaper and we could train kids. No, that's the real issue. Can't have that. And it occurred to me, okay, what they're really talking about here is kind of the same as saying that, well, if you put a muffler on a car, it's silent. No, it's not. Everybody that's ever driven a car knows that. It's not silent. But if you take the muffler off, the car is definitely louder. Now, the exhaust coming out of a car isn't supersonic either. So we're comparing apples and oranges, kind of like what the WAPO did when they said that they compared a silencer on a firearm to the sound of a chair moving across the floor. It's like comparing an elephant to a gnat and saying, yeah, I compared them. You'd have to be stupid not to recognize the flaws in the comparison. So why not just outlaw mufflers? This is where I'm headed, right? Why doesn't Big Brother just outlaw mufflers? They want to get rid of the internal combustion engine. And if you outlawed mufflers, just like they outlawed silencers, wouldn't be too long before people would say, you know what, it's just not fun to drive anymore. I get a headache after I drive for 8 hours in my car. And, I can't hear the stereo anymore over the sound of the engine. I don't like it. Maybe I'll just ride the bus instead. Maybe I'll succumb to the electric car and let it drive for me. And then if they want to drive me to the camps, who cares, right? This is exactly where we're headed. If you can get people to sign up for stupid stuff and make things that should be appealing and, in fact, vital to their safety, too much of a pain to use and stay proficient with, well, you can see what's available and what can be accomplished. Now, I also mentioned this idea of ignorance and apathy. What you don't know can kill you. I'm not going to belabor this because I will, trust me, we'll do it again at some point. But there is more news about 5G. Now, here's something that is, in fact, silent and also deadly. 5G, I will contend, is probably one of the most deadly things ever pushed on a gullible, dumbed-down American public. Why? Because they're ignorant and proud of it and unaware of the danger of millimeter wavelength radiation. About the only people that really know, because the FCC isn't doing the studies. They've admitted that. They're not interested in studying it because, you know, why study something if you know the answer and you don't want to hear the answer? Millimeter wavelengths are extremely dangerous. And I don't even have time to read the list of potential health aspects of damage to DNA and sleep patterns and mental acuity, you name it. But I guess if you want to dumb down people, why not subject them to sleep-depriving radiation day and night and have the ability to turn up and cause pain? 5G, by the way, says the piece that I'm looking at here from earlier in the week, is exceptionally harmful to children. And there's report after report that isn't being widely talked about that says, yep, this is why they want to push it without telling you what's going on. The problem, again, folks, is when people are ignorant, and most people, because this is significantly more technically difficult to understand than why a firearm that produces a supersonic round isn't really ever truly silenced. But 5G is silent. And why it's deadly is probably a little bit more difficult to understand than why getting hit with a bullet is deadly. The bullet's faster, but 5G is ultimately a lot more effective for the purposes that Big Brother seems to have in mind. Okay, from there, I'm going to go to a story. And I want to tell this story. I saw a great piece, and it'll help to kind of tie all the ribbons together today. This comes from Jeff Thomas at the International Man. I saw it via Lou Rockwell. And it has to do with something called the Peasant Revolt of 1381, which they note is little known on this side of the pond. But back in 14th century England, it was the cost of ongoing welfare. Does that sound familiar? Especially since we've got an invasion coming from the south that's putting U.S. politicians in the same position. Too many people sucking at the public teat. Anyway, the politicians then had a no-win situation. Either they had to concede the wars that they were fighting, primarily with France in those days, or they could cut their own salaries and goodies and benefits. That's not going to happen. Or they could increase taxation on the rest of the populace significantly. Oh, yeah. Guess which one they picked. And resultant poll tax revenue, surprise, surprise, proved to be less than they were anticipating, as large numbers of people not only found ways to evade the tax, but decided, they just couldn't afford to get more blood out of that turnip anyway. The tax commissioners were then given, kind of like BATF, wide latitude in the methods they used to facilitate the collection. And, of course, as you've probably noticed, and history has proven dramatically and repeatedly, whenever authorities are given too much latitude, they tend to use it abusively. And if you think today, you'll note, yeah, you've got coercion, deception, kind of things that we're seeing with the ATF and the IRS and you name it, pick three letters, as well as civil forfeiture. Hey, there's a clever backdoor tax method, right? Just steal people's cars and firearms and jewels and planes, trains, and automobiles and Well, you can buttress your budget that way. Anyway, by May of 1381, says the piece, authorities confronted the people of Brentwood in Essex, who were unanimous in their anger towards the authorities because they already considered the tax to be an abuse of authority. And in a confrontation attended by hundreds of citizens, a shop owner, whose name was Thomas Baker, announced to the commissioner that all of these folk have already paid their taxes. You won't get a penny more from them. Whereupon the commissioner ordered the arrest of 100 people chosen at random. What a wonderful Big Brother-style solution. But outnumbered, the authorities were driven back. So they brought in reinforcements the next day. But by that time, more peasants had joined in the revolt, and armed conflict ensued. Now, the peasants, of course, just like today, had mostly been disarmed. As a matter of fact, more effectively than Big Brother has been able to do yet in America, but certainly not unlike what they had done in Europe up to that point and subsequently. The peasants then beheaded 6 of the authorities, so there was no turning back. The peasants had a taste of freedom. They wouldn't give it up easily. Word got round the country, and the riots quickly spread from Essex and beyond. Coded messages, says Thomas, passed from one community to another. This was the 14th century equivalent of the Internet. And it was the quickest way to anonymously pass information between those who resolved to rebel against the powers that be. Protesters were then arrested in a number of counties, and only 8 days after the first incident, the rebels had organized well enough to create an assault on Rochester Castle in Maidstone, Kent, to free their compatriots. And in this short time, they'd already become organized enough to form militia groups and create a small crusade. Importantly, peasants had been joined by folks from the middle classes, small as they might have been in those days, who had already also been subjected to the same kind of, onerous taxes. And within 2 months, the peasants numbered in the thousands. Riders from counties surrounding London simultaneously launched an attack on the capital city. And by the time the rebels reached the Tower of London, they were 60,000 strong, and that was more than the entire population of London at the time. Meanwhile, the British army were overseas, waging that war against France. And the king and his ministers, it says, had never anticipated a rebellion. They were caught unprepared. Now here, I pause and note, as I go through the story, isn't that different? See, today, the king and his ministers, or the deep state swamp critters and their ministers, are well prepared. They know darn well that the people who put a Second Amendment in place and are the descendants of those who fought against the evil King George III, might, at least a few of them, still remember the lessons of history. So they have anticipated exactly what an armed populace can do. And, as should be obvious by now, they're taking every step that Adolf and, even those that Adolf didn't anticipate, and doing more. Well, the king, though, was holed up in the Tower of London where they thought they'd be safe, but the guard wasn't sufficient to allow the king to get out of town. When the rebels then crossed London Bridge and entered the city, they simply took over. Even though they weren't well armed, they were simply too numerous to control. Now, here, notes the author, a key to the success of the rebellion was that it cut across social classes. The poll tax was paid by all classes, outside of those who were above the law, and even those who didn't join the rebels, in many cases, sympathized with them. And that included soldiers, a number of whom switched sides. And the soldiers, of course, were armed. When the rebels finally got to the tower, the drawbridge had been lowered, and the king accepted defeat. Now, here's where the story and the plot really thicken. Significantly, the rebels' primary focus was a fellow named Simon Sudbury, at that time Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Chancellor of England, and, ready, the head tax collector. And he was taken and executed with no resistance from the king. Isn't that the way it works? The Hitlers of the world will gladly turn over their minions to execution so long as their own head is safe. The rebels then presented their demands, which were these four. 1, an end to bonded labor, or the end of serfdom. Wouldn't it be nice if that was happening in America? 2, freedom to trade, a free market. Wouldn't that be nice if that would happen in America? 3, a national limit as to the rent that could be charged for farmland. Now, we're talking about a similar kind of thing having to do with serfdom and the people that were unable to make a living because they were slaves on the land. And 4, no rebel was to be punished for being involved in the uprising. Well, the king, having no wiggle room, signed a charter. And it's kind of like when a liar in Congress puts their hand on a Bible and swears to preserve, protect, and defend a Constitution before God, even, that you know darn well they're lying through their teeth about. What do you think? He signed the charter, agreeing to all of those terms, with the sole condition that his personal rule be undiminished, and well, the rebels were fine with that. They accepted the condition. And, says the author, if that were the end of the story, it'd be a great tale of David and Goliath. Or, like the old Texas Rangers motto, a little man can whip a big man every time, if the little man's in the right and keeps on a-coming. But, of course, it didn't end there. After the king, treacherous son of a gun that he was, had acceded to all of the demands, the rebels dispersed. They went home. And once they were down to just a few hundred in number, they were set upon and unceremoniously killed. The tax was repealed, but not one of the freedoms that had been promised were delivered upon. And as incredible it might seem, that was the end of the matter. Now, this, folks, is really the crux of the story, the reason why I have been doing what I'm talking about today, ignorance and apathy. People literally rebelled at a point, and they won, and then they went home. And what was promised wasn't delivered, but that was the end of the matter. Once life was merely tolerable again, the still serfs of England caved, and they accepted, just like they were used to, their subjugation to the king. Once the tax was gone, they abandoned their quest for more meaningful freedoms. And therein, in a single story, is the reason why Ben Franklin said, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." And why the protections against the kind of tyranny that we're now seeing in the Bill of Rights, one by one by one, including freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms, are all being systematically and completely, albeit gradually, eliminated. Why is the story pertinent now, says the author? Well, he points to Great Britain. They're deeply in the hole economically, no way out. They've been voting for Brexit, and Big Brother in Britain caved. And, of course, we've seen what happened there. They pulled the switcheroo. Brexit Party, the new one, won big in the polls, and we'll see if anything comes of that. What do you think? Maybe the peasants will once again get what they think they've got coming to them. And once again, they'll be lied to. But I guess we'll see. In any case, the author concludes, this is Jeff Thomas here, that whatever country we're from, we got to be reminded that, no matter how reasonable or conciliatory all of this may seem, you should never put the fox back in the hen house. And that goes, I guess, too, for the liberty teeth, for the idea that when Big Brother comes to you and lies and says, oh, we'll just infringe a little bit. Trust us. Have we ever lied to you before? You don't need bump stocks. And in fact, folks, you don't. Bump stock is a toy. But the principle is, once we can modify anything we want in the law, and the people are too stupid or too dumbed down or too apathetic to object to it, and after all, isn't this the oh-so-wonderful president who says he is in favor of the Second Amendment? But hey, wait a minute, don't they all? This is the guy who also famously said, oh, when it comes to communist, Stalinist-style red flag gun laws, take the guns first, worry about due process later. Now he says he doesn't like bump stocks and bans them with a stroke of the pen. He doesn't like silencers either. Well, wait a minute, they've already been banned. What else can you do? I guess you can take away everything that the silencer might fit on. Oh, wait, they've already done that, too. They try to deal with threaded barrels and anything that might accept a suppressor. Anything that has those ugly features they now define as an assault weapon, because that just sounds scarier. What is an assault weapon? It's whatever Big Brother wants to ban today, as the media coverage will quickly make clear. All of this, I guess, leads me to a number of what I hope will be perhaps not surprising, but important conclusions. One, ignorance and apathy both. They can both kill you. What you don't know can kill you. And yeah, the old joke, disgusting as it is, still applies. Which is worse? Well, I don't know and I don't care, seems to be the popular response. And it really does bug me that liars like Hitlery, and indeed the WAPO, and so many of these nutcases in the communist left can stand there and say, we're going to take your guns away, but we respect the Second Amendment. Oh, well, for our team, not for you guys. And then they'll lie to you about basic physics. I guess if you can believe that a silencer can take a supersonic rifle round and make it so quiet Well, so quiet even that the FBI can suppress not only the sound, but all the video from Las Vegas. Well, what else? Well, you probably would believe that a building that wasn't even hit by a plane could go down. You probably would be willing to believe that TWA Flight 800 wasn't hit by a missile in spite of all the eyewitnesses and the violations of the laws of physics. In other words, folks, when people don't have a basic understanding of truth and fiction, physics 101, a little bit of math, even a bit of basic law and history, they can be lied to and absolutely unaware of how big the whoppers are being told are. The very fact that a nutcase, blithering idiot, let's be blunt here, like the occasional Cortex, could even sit in Congress ought to be proof enough of how far down that particular rabbit hole we've come. Let me contrast that with a great quote from one of my favorite authors, Robert Heinlein, who said that a human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, con a ship, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, die gallantly. Specialization is for insects. So among other things, we ought to teach our children to shoot. Even if Big Brother doesn't want you to be able to do it with a nice, quiet, inexpensive .22 pistol or rifle. So make sure they wear good ear protection, and you're probably going to have to take them further out into the boondocks than you otherwise would. But that's just a part of it. They need to learn survival. They need to learn some mathematics, some physics, so that when the likes of a Hitler lie to them, or even a Donald Trump, who really doesn't understand, I think, what shall not be infringed means, and allows certain things to be banned, like bump stocks and maybe silencers, because he doesn't know any better and just doesn't like them anyway. Well, the rest of us had better know better. If we can't point out the lies, folks, they'll stand. Which brings me to a quote from Scripture that I want to close with today. Some of you by now have probably even figured out where I'm headed, because I quote this one fairly frequently anyway. What I always like to do, of course, is point out that the verse continues a bit beyond the part that most people are likely to quote and remember. My people, he says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There it is. It's been true for thousands of years. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But wait, here's the rest. Because, he says, you have rejected knowledge. Does that sound familiar? Ignorant and proud of it. I don't know and I don't care. I could care less what the facts really are. Physics is hard. Math is hard. I'd rather just be stupid, disarmed, enslaved, stolen from, and, yeah, ultimately even destroyed. Because you have rejected knowledge, he says, I will also reject you from being priest for me. That describes a whole lot of history. And because you have forgotten. Now, the real word here is the Torah in the Hebrew. The instruction, not just the statutes, judgments, and commandments, but the whole instruction of your God. I will also forget your children. What do you think? Are we there yet? Now, in context, doesn't that really kind of nail it? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and here we live in a society where Hillary Clinton and the likes of these liars can get away with literally telling whoppers that would make Adolf of the Big Lie fame blush. And yet they get away with it. They're not called out, and you have so-called newspapers lying through their teeth and reporting, well, even worse crap. Because you've rejected knowledge, clearly, and you listen to the WAPO and the Hitleries of the world. I will also reject you from being priests for me because you have forgotten, he says, the instruction of your Elohim, your God. I will also forget your children. And there we are. That has indeed happened. So the point, of course, is teach your children. And anybody who's ever taught anything knows that's how you really learn what you're trying to teach. Learn for yourself. Understand when you're being lied to. And the way to do that is to have enough knowledge that you aren't fooled, that you aren't duped. And that you aren't, well, able to be subjected to whatever it is that they intend to do. Because the prince of this world comes but to kill and destroy. And he and those who serve him are getting closer and closer to that goal by the day. Yeah, folks, be not deceived, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.